This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Orioles are having full squad workouts as we get closer to opening day. Spring training games will be here before you know it. And the Red Sox have made a couple of money moves this offseason. Let's talk some Red Sox and the rest of the AL East. Rob Bradford covers the Red Sox for WEEI. Also has an Odyssey podcast. Baseball Isn't Boring. He joins us now, courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. And Rob, thanks as always for joining us. So let's start with the Red Sox. What did you think of their offseason?
Good. Yeah, it's become a little spicier in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Because you obviously have the Alex Bregman press conference, and then you have Rafael Devers not wanting to move off third. But it's honestly, it feels back to when the Red Sox were good. You know, when you had a little bit of disgruntled veterans or some spiciness when it comes to like the sit downs and the bench leading into spring training. And then you have really, really good players around all the controversy. And at the end of the day, you're usually in it, and you've spent money, and you feel good, and you got attention, and you've pushed away apathy. And I think that for me, that's the biggest thing, is that this organization, really before this offseason, they saw the apathy creeping in. They saw that this was not going in the right direction. And that's why you hear them link with Soto. That's why you hear them link with Max Fried. That's why they go out and get Crochet. That's why they go out and get Bregman, because ownership knew. And you know, I think there's a different vibe right now around this team.
So I guess is the sentiment that, look, Cora is a master communicator. He knows how to handle personalities, and that, you know, he'll get the genie back in the bottle. Or is there any concern that, well, if he is such a great communicator, like, why didn't they kind of smooth this over with Devers beforehand?
Yeah, well, I think they tried. You know, they kept saying every time this topic came up with Devers moving off third, whether it was the idea of Bregman coming in or trading for Arenado, whatever it is, they said, well, whatever, if we do anything, we're going to talk to him. We're going to talk to him. And they end up talking to him. They talked to him last Friday, but that didn't go well. That was met with, hey, Rafi, we're thinking about moving you to DH or first base at least sometimes. And his answer was the exact same answer he gave the media yesterday. No. So I think that they tried. Now, I think Alex Cora really nailed his press conference yesterday, saying this isn't about Devers, this isn't about Cora, this is about the Red Sox. That's step one. He also said, I'm not going to tell anybody what to say when they get on that bench. That's step two. And he's also seen this. I think that, and I said this today, you know, nobody's ever retired from switching in position. They've gotten upset. They've gotten surly about it, but no one's ever retired. And still, we also, and I think they're playing this card too, we don't know definitively that he's moving off third base. They still have some time here before they have to make that ultimate decision.
We also know that the Red Sox are going to have a new closer, Rob, with Kenley Jansen not returning. They have a couple options there, but who do you expect to be that guy in the ninth?
Well, I think that, so that's the thing, is that this team is set up pretty well across the board. You have a good starting rotation. You have a good lineup. You've improved defensively and everything. And the bullpen's the one thing where you have good arms, but you don't have that definitive guy said that guy has done it. Now, I hear you. Liam Hendricks has done it. There's no question about it. But he's coming off an injury. He didn't pitch at all last year, with the exception of some minor league rehab outings. So you don't know exactly where you're going to get for him. Chapman, I wouldn't close in a million years just because, yeah. You know, Aroldis Chapman is what he is. He throws hard. He gets out sometimes, but he also walks a lot of guys. You have a guy, Justin Slayton, who throws hard. He's a Rule 5 guy last year, did well. But again, Rule 5 guy last year, cart before the horse. Garrett Whitlock is an intriguing guy to me. I think that, you know, if I had to put money on it right now and beat long odds, I would not be surprised if Garrett Whitlock lands as the closer. But still, you know, I think that that is the biggest uncertainty when it comes to a team that's pretty well positioned, I think, everywhere else.
We're talking with Rob Bradford's Inside Access here on the Fan. Well, Rob, let's stay in the division and come down to where we are in Baltimore. What did you think of the Orioles offseason, and where do they slot in this division, in your opinion?
I got to be honest with you. I've been down in Florida for about a week now. The Orioles have come up a lot, and it hasn't really been in a great way.
Yeah.
It was like, what are they doing? And it really, and I know that you guys don't need to hear this, but you know, I think this is sort of just the buzz is that, hey, yeah, last year you had the ownership takeover, you trade for Corbin Burns, and then the expectations are you're going to sign all these guys to extensions and you're going to go on your way. And instead, you know, that you don't, yeah, sure, you lose Burns, but you don't do that again. You don't get into the deep end when it comes to the free agency. You don't make some of these uncomfortable trades along the lines that you had with Burns. And really, guys, like, correct me if I'm wrong, but it does feel like there's a solution to this. They have a good team, but there's a solution to actually getting into the conversation about World Series.
Yes.
And that's simply doing what they did with Burns, and maybe that's with Dylan Cease. Get that guy. And so that I think that's the perception of the Orioles. Good team, but not a great team because they weren't really as proactive as it should have been.
All the projection systems, while they vary in how by what margin they think the Yankees will win the division, I seem to be everything I've looked at is projecting the Yankees to win the division. Pitching looks like it might be elite. Lineup, not the most formidable in the world. Defense, maybe still in question in some positions. How vulnerable are they?
I think it's like the rest of the American League. The Yankees right now have to be perceived as the favorites. But like the rest of the American League, it's not great. I mean, this is a reason why I see a team like the Orioles or the Red Sox. Like, this is your opportunity, man. Like, this isn't like you have the Dodgers sitting there.
Right.
You have the opportunity to take advantage of a flawed American League, including the Yankees. And we all know, like, you know, fortunately, the Baseball is a Boring podcast got a lot of play because how many times Joe Kelly said the Yankees stink, you know, off the World Series. But, you know, they kind of did in some ways.
Yeah.
They weren't a great World Series team. So, you know, I think that they are flawed. Now, I do love Devin Williams. I love their bullpen. I love the top of the rotation. I think they're going to be a good team. But as I said before, I just think there's still an opportunity here. And I think the Red Sox saw that, and I do think the Orioles, if they just like trading for Dylan Cease, man, like I just think the perception changes so hard.
Well, Rob, we're not talking about the Blue Jays fighting for the top of the division. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. said that he's cutting off talks now that spring training is underway. How do you see that playing out with the Blue Jays as a whole? And if they get off to a slow start, could they look to deal Vlad?
Yeah, I mean, you have to think that if there's any room for interpretation of the trade deadline, they're going to trade him. I mean, you can't get caught in the vortex of, oh, well, we might be in it, and then you let Vlad walk. You just can't do that. And the Blue Jays are interesting because in the last few years, I thought this is a really, really talented team. And they've sort of been a sad trombone. Yeah, they made the playoffs a couple of years ago, but still, I thought that at times they were the most talented team. And they made some interesting acquisitions. You know, you have Hoffman, you have some other guys. So it wasn't like they didn't do anything this offseason. And they could absolutely come out of nowhere and contend, and all of a sudden Vlad's on the team, and there you go. You're keeping him until the end of the year. But, you know, I still think that you better understand, you better know that you're in it when the trade deadline comes around if you're going to hold on to this guy. because you can get a boatload for him, and you know, and it sure, guys, it sure does not feel like this is going to be a situation where you're going to be able to keep Vlad Guerrero. In fact, I would say this. You made your best offer to Vlad Guerrero. I've seen this time and time again. Make your absolute best offer. He says no. If you feel right now that you can get a ton for him, which you can get absolutely more now than you did at the trade deadline, then deal him. Like, deal him. Because you made your best effort. You know he's not going to stay. So move on.
Rob, let's finish with Tampa. What do you make of them?
Well, we always say don't count out Tampa, although we kind of last year was the first year where we that kind of came like, oh, okay, finally. You know, the things that we thought that were going to happen with Tampa sort of did, but that was only after a million guys got hurt. So I still don't count them out, and I will say this about Tampa. You know, they got McClanahan back. They have guys coming back. They have pitchers coming back. And it's just a weird thing with them, right, is that we just keep doing this over and over and over again, and they just keep hanging. They just keep competing. And it is amazing to me that Kevin Cash is the longest tenure manager. And it's also amazing to me like that he's an underrated manager. I mean, there's a reason why he fit there. Like, they're always good. He's unassuming. You know, he's done a good job. And yet, you know, I don't think we put him among the elite of managers, and really we should. I think it's just going to be a really, really fascinating division, but I'll come back to it. I just think the American League is there to be had. I mean, so that if you're a team, be aggressive. If you're not aggressive now, surely be aggressive at the deadline.
Rob,
Mike Elias has a supercomputer that's played out every game in the American League over the next 5 years. So trust me, he'll know exactly when it's actually time to get real. He's got it all figured out. Just ask the owner. He's got it all figured out. He's got a crystal ball. It's amazing.
Let me ask you this real quick. Like, so, you know, with the owner, you have that dynamic where I remember how excited everybody was.
Uh-huh.
Has that taken a turn? Has everyone said, hey, wait a second, I thought we were going to do stuff?
The people paying attention are definitely a little concerned.
Rob, they spent $50 million dollars this offseason.
In one-year deals.
they've done.
Yeah, and listen, I'm a huge Tyler O'Neill guy, so I don't want to, I think he's going to have a good year. I think the Red Sox should have actually gone after him a little bit. So I know that he's not the big ticket item, but hey, listen, you got to start somewhere. And so, yeah, he'll be good for you guys.
Rob Bradford, check out the podcast. Baseball Isn't Boring, and also covers the Red Sox for WEI. Rob, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time.
All right. Thanks so much. I'll talk to you guys later.
Coming up next, we switch to the Terps, and they blew out Iowa on Sunday. They got USC on Thursday. We recap what we saw on Sunday. It was a tale of two halves. We'll explain next here on The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, they were really in a good rhythm, and I knew we were going to be a little bit sluggish coming off that Nebraska, you know, getting home at 4 a.m. Thursday night and just really having one day to get ready for. That offense is tough, and, you know, I didn't want to start pressing and getting back in the zone because I just didn't know if we'd have enough left in the tank. And so in the second half, you know, we survived the first half. In the second half, we got in the press and we got into the zone and just kind of got them out of rhythm a little bit because they're a talented team. I mean, they can really shoot it. They pass the ball great. They move great. And I just thought we kind of, you know, we watched film at halftime, kind of saw what we were doing, and just I think we got our breath and kind of realized, all right, let's get out and just keep doing what we're doing offensively and tighten up defensively.
Kevin Willard after the game, a game that Maryland's trailed 51-47 at the half. They committed 11 turnovers in the first half, 23 points scored off those turnovers, but still only trailed by 4. Cleaned things up in the second half and blew the doors off of Iowa in the second half. Final score was 101-75.
Yeah, I mean, you never want to give up 51 points at home in a half, no matter who you're playing. And Iowa is a prolific scoring team, but they are also very poor defensively, and that bore itself out in the second half, and they definitely upped the defensive intensity. It's clear that Coach Willard laid into them a little bit at the half. They defended the three ball better. The Terps continue to maximize their possessions and score at a highly, frankly, remarkable clip. I mean, they shot like 60% in the second half again, and the defensive clampdown was noticeable. I mean, it's 51-50. Iowa at the half, and we go 6 minutes into the second half, and it's 70-55. And that's game, set, match, really.
Well, we didn't know it then, Jason, but when Rodney Rice comes out in the second half and goes on a personal 8-0 run to give them the lead almost immediately, it was essentially lights out for Iowa.
But I mean, Iowa scored 5 points the first 7 minutes of the second half. Yeah. Like, they weren't going to be able to keep pace.
No. They went on a 23-4 run. Maryland did to start the second half, but it felt like that Selden Miguel 3 to end the first half,
it
4 points of 7 was huge, because then Rodney Rice went on an 8-0 run of his own, and you already have the lead. But that the second half shooting numbers for Iowa, horrible. 11 for 37 from the floor, 0 for 13 from three after starting 8 for 14 in the first half.
The press was a problem. The Terps being able to keep their two big men on as much as they wanted because no semblance of foul trouble was a big deal. And they cut down on the sort of laissez-faire defensive approach in the first half where it looked like they'd never seen a backdoor pass before in their lives. And guys staring at each other, I thought you had him. I thought you had him.
They abstained.
Yeah, the rebounding, you know. Iowa was really hustling on the offensive boards and battling on the offensive boards in the first half. And that tenacity for the Terps changed in the second half. I also think that's where Jordan Geronimo earns his money. That's where he comes in, throws the elbows around a little bit, wins above the rim, gives you quality minutes defensively, and sort of reestablishes your physicality. And they were the faster team, the better team, the more physical team in the second half. And it became an utter blowout, the likes of which shocked me. Not that they blew them out, but they blew them out and the bench didn't play that much.
That was still a big surprise, especially the last 5-6 minutes, where initially it looked like Maryland was going to score 110, 115, and then the scoring obviously slowed up. But the fact that all the starters still played over 30 minutes, it was very surprising. Gapari, who, after missing the prior couple games due to illness, only played 4 minutes. Malachi Palmer, you brought this
two
up earlier.
2 minutes? What is that all about? The guy was that. In the game 5 minutes in on the road, the first TV timeout a week ago. Now we're up 30 and he's not getting a run? I
don't know that I agree with it, but I feel like Willard is like, okay, so we play Sunday. We don't play again until Thursday. And then after that, we don't play again until the following Wednesday. These are the guys I got that I'm going to have to ride come March. And remember, you get a day off after every game come March. And then if you get through the second game, you get the full 4 days off at least. He's like, I'm going to ride these guys because these are the guys that are going to take me to the promised land. Now, I would like to see they got two guys that gave him double-digit minutes off the bench. But I'd like to see more bench scoring. I guess beggars can't be choosers.
Yeah,
that just is what it is at this point. They're going to live and die with their starting five.
Which may be as good as any in the country.
Sure, absolutely, 100%. But if Julian gets in the foul trouble, what does that look like? Queen as well?
I don't understand not taking advantage of a blowout, especially at home. I just personally don't. I mean, they talked up Malachi Palmer. They made a big deal to reinstitute him into their rotations after that week-long
break. 2 minutes combined last
year. Where they self-scouted and said, we got to, and to re-recruit the kid and talk about how he's part of their future. I mean, I'd like to see the kid make a three-pointer. Like, let's keep him on the court for 5-6 minutes down the stretch and see if he can get his stroke going in a game. They say he looks great in practice. Like, you know, Jay Young, I mean, why don't we at least get Gillespie? Why is Gillespie on the court with 4 minutes left and you're up by 30 points at home? I don't care when your next game is. Like, just let Jay Young get more comfortable on the ball. Like, let's try to use this to our advantage and build that bench up even just a little bit. Like, I'm surprised. Or again, if you're not going to do that here, then when you go on the road to Michigan, I don't want to see them in the first half unless somebody's in foul trouble. It's one or the other.
Before we step out, Ben, I'm curious. What did you think about what we saw with the way Willard used his bench, not just Sunday, but the last couple games?
It's a bit confusing, but since he's been at Maryland, he's been pretty outspoken about, and this isn't every year, bench guys coming in late and ruining what looks like a blowout victory. He did it early last year. His first year was pretty big about it, and I think that's more of what it was. They got a lot of time, and it's starting to get to crunch time. Again, I can't really wrap my head around Malachi Palmer coming in the Ohio State first half and now going the way it's been going lately, but I really didn't have an issue with it. I think he wants those blowout wins to look that way, and I didn't think he wanted the bench to get in there and bring that down.
Maryland wins 101-75. They next play USC on Thursday. It's an 8:30 tip, which means pregame coverage starts at 7:30 here on The Fan. And joining us next, man that will be on the call with Johnny Holiday and Walt Williams, Chris Nocke, joins us next here on The Fan. Terps beat Iowa 101-75. And joining us now, courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline, a minute was on the call, along with Johnny Holiday and Walt Williams. It's Chris Nocke. And Chris, thanks as always for joining us. Ultimate tale of two halves here. We were just talking about it. The defense wasn't great in the first half. The offense was sloppy, but yet only down four. And then they blow their doors off in the second half.
Well, I mean, it wasn't – defense was non-existent
yes.
in the first half, actually for both teams. And, you know, the if you know anything about the conference, of course, Iowa can, you know, as prolific as they are offensively, they can be defensively mm-hmm. uninterested.
Yeah.
And, you know, they've got a way of playing. They shot the lights out that first half. Both teams did. And you just sort of got the feeling that, gosh, if you could just play some defense for 3 or 4 minutes and have an extended run, that you know you could do something, some serious damage in this game. And that's exactly what happened coming out of the gates in the second half. Great run to start the second half, and a lot of that fueled by Rodney Rice. But man, he had a lot of help as well. It ended up being a really nice win.
There's plenty of turnover from the Terps, as there is for every team in college in this new landscape, Chris. But did you ever envision this team being this prolific of a scoring team? Now they're 15th in the country in points per game, and people are talking about them having the best starting five in the nation.
Well, I mean, if you look at it just, you know, qualitatively, just looking at the starting five, there's no weak link. You know, like I think that if I'm game planning for Maryland, I'd be hard pressed to figure out exactly how to go. I you know, in most cases, you've got a guy you can lay off of. Maybe you've got a guy that you can, you know, use as your double down guy, a guy who scratches back and maybe gets the ball out of Julian Reese's hands or out of Queen's hands or something like that. What are you going to do if you're an opposing coach with this group? Are you going to leave Jacoby Gillespie open at 19 feet or Shelton Miguel open at 20 feet? You know, so you really don't have a lot of options. I think, you know, coming in, and I hadn't really given it a whole lot of thought, but if I were game planning against the Terps, I think I'd maybe try and change defenses as much as possible, just give them something different to look at. You absolutely have to keep them off the backboards because Amel has done a really nice job on the offensive boards, particularly Julian Reese. You know, Queen, of course, has those great hands. I don't know. They're a tough team to game plan for, I'd think.
Well, it seems like one other thing you have to worry about now, too, is in the past, if Juju's got the ball mid-range, you know he's basically looking to drive. But now he's got this little leaner from, you know, around the top of the key, around the foul line, where he seems to be increasingly comfortable with that. And we've given a lot of attention to what he's done at the line, obviously. But what about that sort of element and his evolution of his game?
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned it, Jason, because he's put in the work, and it doesn't just apply to what he's done at the foul line. I mean, clearly he has put in the time and the effort it takes to be, you know, fairly. I don't know what you call that, a leaner, a little jump shot.
Yeah.
You know, he's always had the half hook, you know, but he's put in the time to be really effective with that shot. And you know, now when he shoots it 10 or 11, you know, feet away from the basket, I mean, you just feel like that's a lock.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, automatic. And so he's grown a lot. He's come a long way. He also doesn't have to be the guy. You know, there's so many good parts to what's going on with the Juju story right now. I'm always happy to see a kid like that as you approach senior day, you know, having his best year.
Talking to Chris Nocke, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Chris, a question that I want to ask you about that came up last segment. This was a blowout for, I guess, to at least the last 10 minutes of the second half. With that in mind, were you surprised the starters played as much as they did in the second half?
No, I wasn't surprised at all. And I tell you what, Ken, I never gave it a second thought. And here's why. You just had this team, Iowa, drop 51 points on you in one half. They're not dead until you kill them. I hate to use that phrase. That terminology, but you gotta finish the job. And you've already been, you know, borne witness to how prolific they are. So I mean, I I'm usually sensitive to those kinds of things. Really, I am. And yet, until you asked that question, I hadn't even given it a thought.
Well, going deeper with that, Chris, because it has been a narrative with this team over the past couple of weeks, does the lack of bench production scare you with them moving forward?
So I'm of mind, Tim, that I don't really worry about it. When people say production, I think we got to look at two different things. One is, you know, pure points. You know, like, there is no Vinny Johnson on that Maryland bench. Okay, there's no microwave, right? There's nobody who's going to come in and you know, and drop 25 points in a game. You know, Gapari came in and had a couple of big games early where he was getting, I don't know if he had 16, 18, so I don't really remember. It's been a long, long time ago. I think really what you need are consecutive minutes of really positive play and good play, whether it's cleaning up, helping on the backboards, whether it's, you know, playing defense. You see what Jay Young did the other day in the second half of the game against Iowa. I don't know that he scored, but I know he played his ass off, and he was in the middle of a bunch of plays defensively that led to breakout plays. That's what I'm talking about in terms of production. You don't have to come in. Nobody's asking you to jump into the phone booth and, you know, put on your super suit. You don't have to do that. You just have to go in there and do your job and make sure you hold the fort. That's as much value as you get from a bench player sometimes. They're just not wired to have a guy come in and blow up. I think they're getting enough out of that group, particularly with Gapari back, and I love Geronimo's energy. He's been particularly good at home. I'm not that concerned about it right now.
I saw some mock draft projections. Derek Queen, 10th overall to OKC. Boy, would that be something. Whatever rookie wall, freshman wall, whatever you want to call it, figuring out road games on the Big Ten, in the Big Ten wall, is all clearly in the rearview mirror, it seems.
Yeah, we had this conversation. I'm not a big believer in that notion and the concept. I think it's more Derek growing up and sort of acclimating himself to what college hoops are like on a regular basis. You don't take plays off, certainly don't take games off, and I think he sort of figured that out. And I also wonder too. I'm not privy to the locker room. I deal with these guys on a I wish I spent more time in a situation like that, because that's one thing I really miss from coaching. But I wonder if there weren't some guys in that locker room who sort of took him under their wing. It looks like he's gotten some real direction, and whether he learned that by himself, and if he did, credit Derek Queen. But if folks have been in his ear a little bit about, man, your approach has to be different. You have to play harder for longer, those types of things. It just looks to me like the light bulb has gone on.
Chris, before we let you go, USC on Thursday, kind of a weird tip at 8:30 here as the game be at the Xfinity Center. What do you know about USC? What are you expecting to see Thursday?
Yeah, I mean, they like to get up and down the floor. They're coming off a really difficult loss, unexpected loss at home to Minnesota. Yeah. That game was in California. I think they're a dangerous team. I saw them play early in the season. I haven't seen them play the last couple of weeks. When I saw the box, or when I saw the score with Minnesota, I just got the feeling maybe they were down a guy or two. Seems like everybody's got the flu in some way, shape, or form. But that just makes you hungrier, and I assume you'll get their best shot coming into this building. That west to east travel can be tough on opponents, and that may be why we're playing this game at 8:30. I'm not entirely sure, but we'll see, man. It's another opportunity to get better and pad your record a little bit.
Terps and USC this Thursday. Chris Nock will be on the call with Johnny Holiday and Walt Williams. Pregame coverage begins at 7:30 on Thursday. Chris, thanks as always, man. We appreciate it.
Bye, guys.
Thank you.
Coming up next, another edition of Bone Work, and we're back to movies as we teach young Bone about things he should be already knowing, but he does not. And we'll go with movies with Baltimore ties. That's next here on The Fan. So we've been on this mission to teach T-Bone about, frankly, culture, life, things that have happened since before he was in the sixth grade, which is, of course, the Tim Barberley's principal, Jason, as we know. He's things he has conditioned himself not to know or talk about. And so we did movies, we've done music, we did some TV. Now, by the way,
first I got a report on Seinfeld.
Yeah, that's
Seinfeld.
Right.
So I watched, was it 5 episodes? I was looking up random top episodes, if you will. One, the first one that I ended up watching was titled The Opposite, which I found really funny because you guys lean into that on air, telling me to do the opposite.
Yes.
And there's one where George...
Oh, he gets the girl. Exactly. That's Michelle Pfeiffer's sister, by the way.
He gets the girl, and he gets a job with the Yankees.
Yes, yes.
He totally... It wasn't actually Steinbrenner, but like a...
Larry David doing his voice.
A silhouette of him. And he's saying, you ran this organization into the ground the past 20 years. Like, what the hell are you doing? And Steinbrenner's, you're hired. And it was pretty funny. George is probably my favorite character, I would say. I think he is a funny personality. I watched the library...
Mr. Bookman.
Dude.
Great.
That was an awesome set. Yeah. I don't know who that guy was.
Yes.
But is he in the series
was it
a lot?
The Tropic of Capricorn?
Yes.
Is it? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And just eviscerating Jerry for
keeping the book out.
A 20-plus-year-old late thing. I watched The Chinese Restaurant.
That's a good one.
The Soup Nazi, which is very popular. I watched the Van Buren Boys. That was where the gang. Yeah, the gang.
Spitter. You didn't watch the second Spitter?
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. I did not see that one. I saw those 5 episodes. I will say I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Unlike The Clash.
Yeah.
I went in with kind of tepid expectations with it, but it was funny. I think the cast works really well together. Yeah. Obviously, it's one of the more successful TV shows of all time.
The Costanza character is based on Larry David.
I did not know that. I actually enjoyed it. Actually enjoyed these 5 episodes.
If you're waiting, like you got TBS on because you're waiting for the baseball playoffs to start and Seinfeld's the lead in. Are you keeping it on Seinfeld or are you changing the channel?
No, I would watch it. I would watch it. But like I told you guys before, it has 9 seasons. The majority of the seasons are 25 episodes. That intimidates me.
That's commitment.
The only big commitment that I've taken on in terms of a series with that many episodes was The Office in college.
During COVID, I did that with Friends. I had never watched Friends. I did it. It was good.
Good?
Yeah.
Not crazy about it?
It was good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Regret the watch?
No. It was fun, but you know, I was always Team Seinfeld.
So why don't you like
Seinfeld?
Seinfeld is very white.
No,
Friends is too.
Seinfeld is pretty damn white.
Seinfeld's white. Very white.
Seinfeld is pretty damn white.
But Friends is Caucasian, just utterly Caucasian.
And they pretty much happen at the same time.
Yep. Thursdays. Right. Yeah, it was part of the must-see TV.
That was Thursday nights on NBC. Yeah.
So why didn't you like Seinfeld? Because you like Curb more.
Just cliched and kind of stupid. Mm-hmm. I didn't really think it was funny.
I didn't think it was cliche at all, and I thought it was really smart. So that's why they make different flavors of ice cream.
I thought it was funny.
Oh, that's good. Good. Good
if he
you,
likes
Bo.
Curb, though, which is
alas,
movies. And we're going to do movies with... Baltimore
ties, because we were talking about this off air, and Bone didn't know who Barry Levinson was. It's true. He kept referring to Diner as the Diner.
The Diner.
He has seen Rain Man, but did not know why I would bring up Rain Man as a movie with Baltimore connections, because he had no idea.
I did not
about Barry Levinson directing it. He's never seen a John Waters movie.
No.
He has not seen Dead Poets Society, which was a breakthrough performance from Baltimore's own Josh Charles, friends of the show.
Yes.
I'm not sure that you're versed in any Baltimore cinema whatsoever. Hairspray, none of this, because obviously that's
seen
John
Hairspray.
Waters. Oh, so you have seen a John Waters movie, but you just didn't know it.
I did not know.
No. Wow.
Yeah. But I saw...
Did you see Crybaby?
No, I don't even know what that is.
Oh, okay.
Hairspray... Were there multiple iterations of it, or just the one that came out 15 years ago?
There were a few. Whatever. There was the movie,
I saw the
musical.
And then there was a musical, and then there was a televised version of the musical.
I saw the newest movie, whatever that was, like 15 years ago.
Okay.
Was Ricky Lake in it? You don't know who Ricky Lake is.
You don't know who Ricky Lake is. No chance.
So we're going to do movies that have
2007
Baltimore ties.
Yes.
All right. You want to go first?
Yeah. I
did not see Chris.
I've got a backup in case you've seen this, but I chose a Barry Levinson film, and it's my favorite baseball movie. It's The Natural. Have you seen The Natural?
I have not seen The Natural.
Okay, it's my all-time favorite baseball movie. It's directed by Barry Levinson. It's The Natural. And then I also chose, because it was filmed in Baltimore, The Replacements, which is a movie about
these... I've seen The Replacements.
Well, then I have a backup for
you. Okay, backup.
It's another Barry Levinson movie. It's called Tin Men. It's with Richard Dreyfuss and movie. Danny DeVito, about aluminum siding salesman. Which is a great movie. There was a scene filmed at the old Westview Cinemas, which I used to go to all the time, which I love the nostalgia there. So The Natural and Tin Men.
And then I am going to go with Dead Poets Society because you haven't seen that.
No.
And I think you would like it. And then I'm going to go with Pink Flamingos because I know you would hate it. And I'm really hoping that people vote for Pink Flamingos. It was the first John Waters movie. Let's just say it's an acquired taste. It's a little eccentric. It features some unbelievable characters. And there's a couple scenes that if you see them, they'll stick with you.
It's a little off-putting.
Pink Flamingos.
You've never heard of it, have you?
No, I haven't.
He didn't know that Hairspray was a John Waters movie.
Yeah, that's a good point. And you never heard of Crybaby? That's like recent.
No.
Johnny Depp?
Crybaby came out in 1990.
Yeah, it's recent for me. That's recent for me.
Is that when Goodfellas came out?
Yeah,
I'm going to put this poll up.
Yeah.
Nah. Recent.
So we've got...
So Seinfeld's the best favorite thing you've seen so far, heard or listened to or seen?
Better than Goodfellas?
Or Goodfellas, you like Goodfellas?
No, Goodfellas was a lot better than
Seinfeld.
Gotcha. Well, Goodfellas was better than Seinfeld.
Mm. Yes.
That was a great movie.
Very true statement.
That was a great
movie. The truest thing you've ever said.
Ah, well done, bro. Hey, coming up next, we'll check in with our buddy Cordell Woodland. What's he think about what's going on in Sarasota? And get his thoughts on what the Ravens are waiting for vis-a-vis Justin Tucker. Cordell joins us next here on The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.